Midday takes on new meaning at Barcelona restaurant in historic German village. Every Tuesday through Friday, between 11 and 3, come enjoy a lunch experience worth savoring. Slip away for a relaxing afternoon or bring colleagues for a business meeting just minutes from downtown. Either way, Barcelona will surround you with historic charm, authentic Spanish flavors, and an atmosphere that feels far from ordinary. Enjoy fresh tapas, seasonal entrees, and a bar where every drink is part of the moment. Not just a stop along the way. Lunch, dinner, happy hour. Barcelona makes every meal feel like an occasion. Barcelona Restaurant. For menus and reservations, visit barcelonacolumbus.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, thanks for downloading this podcast. If you want to listen live, be sure to download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
Welcome in, friendos. It is In This League right here on Sports Grid. It is 3 hours of pretty much NFL draft mayhem that's going down. It is Scott Bogman. He's right there. You can find him on Twitter at Bogman Sports. I am Chris Welsh, The Welsh, on Twitter at Is It The Welsh. Those are our Twitter handles. We can tell you about all the other cool stuff coming up. Boy, have the last couple days been absolutely wild. Today, as this podcast is dropping, we're on the final day of the NFL draft. And Bogman, I had been setting this up, and I'm ecstatic to see, because I haven't seen yet the television ratings, but I couldn't get over that the NFL draft was the actual first real sporting event from one of the big, you know, three or four, however you want to consider sports at this point. But this is the first thing that completely kind of avoided the chaos of the world right now, and the NFL draft went on, though it was different, of course, those little pre-recorded boos for Goodell, which was the lamest thing on the planet. But the NFL draft gave everybody hope, because this was normalcy to the number one sport in America, and it went off. It was solid, and I have to imagine the ratings are probably going to be through the roof.
Yeah, I mean, they are going to be nuts for sure. I don't think I've heard more people say, you know, man, I've never been more invested in the NFL draft in my entire life. I've heard so many people say that because, you know, people that would usually watch either the NBA playoffs or MLB baseball don't have it. So everyone's paying attention to the draft. It makes a ton of sense. And There were some really good moments, some goofy moments there, too, that we're going to get to.
Yeah, but we're going to talk about those for sure in here. Kind of the plan here, just prepping everybody, because it's really just heavy football right now for a bit. We are going to be next week breaking down from the fantasy perspective where all the offensive guys did over on the In This League Fantasy Football podcast, if people want to check that out. Last week, we did an episode. It was kind of our NFL draft preview from the fantasy perspective. We talked about whatever. I don't even remember what the number was now, 15, 17, 19, whatever it is you ended up putting. The big relevant guys and how their dynasty and redraft value was going to potentially look. And we talked about destinations. Well, next week, we'll kind of have a rebrief over that. We'll kind of look back at all seven rounds, look at some destinations. Maybe there'll be some surprise players. We'll talk about the fantasy impact of what happened in the NFL draft. That's on the docket there. So if you're looking for that, make sure you tune in. Just search In This League Fantasy Football, and you will see the podcast. Sign up wherever the iTunes are. NFL Draft War Room podcast that Bogman does have been going on there as well. For today, we are going to be talking about some of the craziness in the NFL draft. Bubba's coming up later. There's going to be some day two conversation we'll be breaking down. We did break down all of day one from a pick-to-pick basis literally an hour after the draft finished. We did that over right here on this feed. It was just the ITL version of the daily. So if you want to listen to that, we're still going to talk about the first round a little bit because we've had time to kind of, I don't know, debrief or
quarantine.
What's the other word that I'm looking for? This is my usual bit. One time a show, I completely miss what a word is. Decontaminate.
We had time to breathe. Is that what you're looking for? I don't know what you're saying.
Just like the segments, I don't apparently do a good job of leading you in the direction, and you don't have it for me. I don't know what it is. It's like it's like debriefing. Like, you know, if you were to go out in space and then you were to go into a room and then you do
debriefing,
something.
Yeah, that's debrief.
That's not debrief. Debriefing would be like with the CIA if they had like a big
decompress.
That's the word. There's the word. God. You got it. You did it. Decompress.
All right.
Why are you mad at me? You couldn't think of it either.
Yeah. You were explaining it so well. You go into a room and you sit down after something happens.
No, I said after space. I had it. Decompress. It's a decompressing.
I said debriefing, and the only reason I knew it was decompress is that because you said, yeah, that's with a person though. Debriefing. Okay. Yeah, it is. You're right.
Yeah, it is. That's like something just happened.
You do by yourself so you don't get the bends.
Yeah.
I tried to watch, there's this $1 billion wreck show on, I think, History Channel.
What is it?
And it's called $1 billion wreck. It's about one of those, you know, big liners that was carrying a bunch of gold, went down in the Atlantic, you know, 100 years ago.
Oh, people searching
family,
for it?
Yeah, this family's been looking for it for years and years and years.
Let's go, Bogman.
Well, I mean, I think they found it. But I was trying to watch this show about it, and they found a big chunk of it, at least. I could only get through one episode of the show. But they were bringing a guy up from the bottom of the ocean about, you know, 250 feet down, and he had to he ran out of air, and they had to throw him in one of those decompression rooms. And I was like, this is really interesting. But then the History Channel commercial thing, for whatever reason, like it saved up 7 commercial breaks for me. Mm-hmm. And then they all happened at one time. So I'm sitting here like 10 minutes into this commercial break going, what the hell is happening right now?
You're decompressing from the show.
Apparently. So I click back, you know, and then I hit play again. 6 more commercials, and I was like, I've had it. I'm not watching the commercial channel.
Okay, so I got
apparently is History, you know, on the Roku.
This is a small deviation, shocker, if you've listened to this show. So I got to get this out because I won't talk about this anywhere else because you just reminded me of it. So I'll try to explain the rabbit hole quickly. I started The Witcher on Netflix,
okay,
which it's not as bad as everybody made it out to be. It's close to as confusing as everybody said. And I don't know. There's something. The Henry Cavill or whatever. I like him.
Superman.
Yeah. I like him. So with that, every time I go on to Amazon Prime, they promote Mission Impossible Fallout, one of the new Mission Impossibles. So I was like, maybe I'll watch them. Like, I don't know, Tom Cruise action movies, and I forgot Simon Pegg's in it, and Henry Cavill's in it, and I've been watching stuff. But then I realized, I was like, oh, you know what? I don't think I'm caught up on Mission Impossible. Mission Impossible always would get weird for me, and I would just like disconnect. So I went back.
Such a hard plot to follow, you know.
Well, they just do all
Tom
this weird.
Cruise almost dies, and then he doesn't.
Well, he runs a lot, and he crashes things. He does his own stunts. No, but they'll do all these weird things. So I was going back, and I'm like, okay, where did I leave off? I remember Ghost Protocol, but then there's Rogue Nation, and then Fallout. So I decided, all right, I'm going to catch back up so I know what's going on. So I went.
I have to know what's going on in these missions.
Well, I got to follow the storylines. Very important. Tom Cruise storylines are very important. So I go and watch Rogue Nation, and there's this scene, and this is what's getting me there. There's this scene where they're breaking into this, like, safe thing, and Tom Cruise has to, like, jump in the water and, like, hold his breath for 3 minutes, and there's this chick that's there to help him, and he dives into this, like, tunnel, and he gets into this safe, and he's holding his breath the entire time. And I'm thinking, oh, he just has to swim there. He gets there. He's, like, trying to change out this card. And I'm like, this is a really long scene. I'm like, we're starting to get into not believable 3 minutes. Then he starts
to... David Blaine?
Well, he, like, passes out in the water. And then she comes in and saves him. And it's, like, another 4 minutes. And I'm like, this three-minute scene... It's been 10 minutes. I'm like, wow, we are getting into unbelievable here. Then I watch Fallout, and I got to get someone's opinion on this. There is a scene in this movie. This is not a spoiler because the movie is years old now, where they have 15 minutes to stop a bomb. Bogman, I am not joking you. It is the most unbelievable 15 minutes you've ever seen in your life. From the moment the bomb starts up, Tom Cruise...
This one where he runs across the roof and stuff and through the office building.
Dude, I'm telling you, somehow they want you to believe in 15 minutes, Tom Cruise jumps on a helicopter that's flying. He's falling down this string thing as he's almost up. He climbs back up. He gets in. He punches the and shoots or whatever, kills the airplane pilot. Doesn't know how to fly a plane. Starts flying. A plane chase ensues. With Henry
Cavill.
This
is a plane or a helicopter?
Helicopter. Okay. They are flying through mountains and mountains and mountains and mountains. They keep going. Finally, they crash the helicopters. They land in the snow.
I remember this one.
It's not over. They land in the snow. Then the helicopters fall down a cliff. They're in it. They get out. They fight. They fall off the cliff. Yeah. He climbs back up, and then he turns it off with 1 second left. And I was like, this is 45 minutes. This wasn't 15 minutes. It was I've never been more baffled at the believability. I'm not that person. I don't fall in. I'm like, well, that wasn't believable. But I was like, you got to be kidding me, dude. It would have taken 15 minutes to get up the helicopter.
Because I saw that one in the theater, and I specifically remember thinking, like, this 15 minutes has been like 45 minutes. What is happening here?
It was I was laughing. I just started laughing at this point because, like, there's something for me. I can just appreciate a good action movie. Sometimes I want my brain to just completely shut off and I want to just go and enjoy an action
Watch
movie.
Watch the Michael Bay movie. Right.
Sure. And this is what Tom Cruise provides. And they have great stunts, and he does all his own stunts, and it's fun to kind of watch and see, like, what is he doing and what are they doing, just all this nonsense. So you're going through that, but when they were pulling this off, I was like, guys, come on, like, this is I don't know what to do here. Like, this isn't 15 minutes. This is like the NFL draft saying they're going to end at 8 p.m you know, or whatever it is. It's like, let's be serious here, guys. This isn't 15 minutes. Maybe make the bomb. If they would have said 30 minutes, I'd have been like, okay, you know what, maybe Tom Cruise could climb up an airplane, take it over, crash it, fall down a cliff, get back up, fight Henry Cavill, fall down, and then climb back up in 30 minutes, not 15 minutes.
I can't. I have this scene stuck in my head now ever since you said, Tom Cruise kills a helicopter pilot. Apparently, now he knows how to fly a helicopter. Never done it in his life. Do you remember the movie Me, Myself, and Irene?
Yeah, I remember. With Jim Carrey?
Yeah, with Jim Carrey and his three sons. They beat up this cop and they take his helicopter, and they're reading the instructions on how to, you know, because they're all like the super geniuses.
Yeah,
they're reading the book. He's like, why can't you tell me how to run this plane yet? And he goes, well, because this thing is in German. He goes, you speak German, don't you, mother effer? And he's like, Well, yeah, I mean, I can listen to it, but I can't read it so well. He goes, how hard can it be? It's just lift versus dragon rotation, you idiot. Let's go.
That's Tom Cruise. That's Tom Cruise.
Yeah, that's Tom Cruise. Tom Cruise just had Jim Carrey's kids screaming at him. It's just lift versus dragon rotation, you dumb mother effer.
I feel bad for getting us down that route, but I just watched this 2 days ago. And for some reason, when we were talking about decompressing, you know, that whole moment in the one, in the Rogue Nation one, where, you know, then he's like, you know, they have to bring him back to life after. And it was this really long. I was like, this is a pretty long holding your breath scene. Like, I always think that I can hold my breath long. And I'm just like, oh, yeah, that's not that
30 maybe. Seconds.
Dude, you get under there. And after, like, you know, especially when you're fat, like after 20 seconds, you're just like, how much longer am I going to do
struggle,
this?
Struggle. Yeah, like, struggle. Get me to the surface.
Yeah, so like die. 3 minutes. Give me
that's good breath. Yeah, oh,
give me a break. So I don't know why we went through there. So let's have a quick so that was the whole point. Is like we can decompress a little bit off. We had talked about the draft right after it happened, and some of the storylines have kind of developed themselves. Yes, we're going to talk about day 2. Obviously, we're not going to talk about day 3 here, but more of that will happen, like I said, on the Antel Fantasy Football Podcast. But there's a multitude of different interesting storylines that came from it, you know. And I just want to jump real quick and get your prediction here, because the one that I've walked away with that is pretty astonishing, not just like it has nothing to do with my anger, is the Jordan Love situation. Love, the Green Bay Packers, we found out after the fact that the Green Bay Packers had apparently had an infatuation with Jordan Love and were determined to trade up to make sure that they acquire Jordan Love, which is kind of a little bit of a shocker. What becomes more shocking about it and really going to be harder to stomach, and it's going to be interesting when we get more comments about this, is that Aaron Rodgers, yes, it's Aaron Rodgers here, but Aaron Rodgers has 4 more years on his contract, Bogman, and the cap hits on Rodgers right now, were they to cut him or get rid of him, I think this year is like $50 million. Next year, it's around $35 million. And the next year after that is around $17 million. So they are not going to be able to relieve themselves of Aaron Rodgers for anything remotely close to a reasonable price for 3 years unless he retires. And we've seen no sign of that. So the drafting of Jordan Love is actually the absolute biggest head scratcher from day one.
Yeah, it's probably the biggest head scratcher for most people. And I got to be honest, like last year coming into the draft, I would have said the exact same thing that everyone else is saying about this pick. You know, the window's closing on Aaron Rodgers. They've been weird about getting him great, great targets. He really hasn't had amazing targets for his entire career. I mean, Davante Adams, Randall Cobb, and like James Jones, when they were all clicking, was pretty good to see. But other than that, they just haven't been great. So you see all these amazing wide receivers in this draft and you think, well, they got to take one to go for, you know, to go across the field from Adams. And they didn't. They go with this backup quarterback. But after watching the Steelers struggle without Roethlisberger last year, man, I'm OK with this pick from the Packers getting Jordan Love. Obviously,
would you be
I'm
okay,
not a Packers fan.
Okay,
well,
let's say the Steelers traded up and took Jordan Love. And just mind you real quick, and this is what's important, is the window, what they've invested in Aaron Rodgers is a lot. Their window is not exactly crazy high. It's something I talked about on the last episode where I speculated, what if they go and they just start drafting, you know, pieces of need, even though it doesn't help for this year, but for the future. So they go and take a, you know, because Aaron Jones' contract is coming up. They take a running back. They take a wideout because Davante Adams is getting older. But to that point, though, this is a team, the Packers, that are built to win right now. They've got Aaron Jones. They've got Davante Adams. Aaron Rodgers is here. They built some form of a defense. If you're in a win-now mode, you don't bring on a quarterback that – actually could literally sit on the sidelines for the entirety of their rookie contract, or you have a quarterback that is not movable. You have to bring in things that can move the needle now and win for this team. So if you were that, the Steelers are a little bit off, not too far, but just a tiny bit off from maybe where the Packers are, but maybe close enough. Think of what the Steelers need right now. What if the Steelers traded up in the first round to take Jordan Love?
Well, after watching last season, like I just said, man, I'd actually be okay.
You actually would be okay with it, even though the Steelers were an almost like full-on playoff team, that they invest their first-round pick in a quarterback. Then let's assume Ben is signed up for 3 more years.
Well, what are they if they don't have Aaron Rodgers, right? I mean, that's kind of the thing. And that's exactly what we saw with Pittsburgh last year. Best defense in the NFL last year was the Steelers, and they couldn't do anything on offense. They couldn't move the ball because they didn't have a quarterback. So it really doesn't matter if you stack up that defense to an amazing level. You have to have at least a league average quarterback in there to get into the playoffs and make a run. And they don't have a league average quarterback behind Aaron Rodgers, and they haven't for a long time. So I'm actually okay with this move. I think there's plenty of time for them to still add some weapons for A-Rod. But getting a backup quarterback is just bigger now than it ever has been.
Well, and I mean, okay, we'll talk about that, because I don't think it's so much about like being like, well, they can get more weapons. Like, sure, that's not the point of the. They invested a lot of money in a first round pick and a first round pick on Jordan Love. So let's talk about that on the other side. Plus a bunch of the other really funny day one stories. And we'll be talking about some day two, some more NFL draft talk right here in this league on Sports Grid.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
In This League
is cooking.
It's In This League. We're back. You can find us over on InThisLeague.com, which goes to our Patreon, patreon.com/ITLArmy. What's so good about it? Actually, right now, as you might be listening to this, Bogman might be streaming on our Patreon, so you can get the rest of day three there. We've got all the rest of the live streams if you want to go back and listen to them, plus a multitude of other stuff. Dynasty football ranks. You've had prospect ranks up on there for baseball, football, secret shows, group me rooms. There is more than you can imagine on our Patreon, and we've been doing it for a long time. That's the thing I always try to tell people, too, because we have seen it in friends of ours across the board. We have seen Patreons come and go. But Bogman and I, we actually, our last secret show, we're going to do a bracket of our comedy shows we've done on Patreon. We've been doing it since 2016? 2016,
yeah,
we've been on Patreon, dude.
It's been a while, man, and it's grown, and we love everyone on there and appreciate all the help and all of the stuff. And if you want to watch the day three stream, if you're listening to that early today, check out our Patreon for sure. And I'm going to have first-year player draft rankings up there for this draft class on Sunday. So all kinds of great stuff over on the In This League Patreon.
I cannot, like, I mean, I know you can't, but I can just hear it in your voice. You're going to sleep for 20 hours. You like, you're usually pretty good about, you usually are able to pull out that, like, that little bit of tiredness and stuff, but like,
right,
it's hanging with you today. Like
it
I can
is.
Hear it. I don't know if everyone else can hear it. Like you are going to like Saturday around probably 4 PM. I'll bet you, you're going to sleep until Sunday at like 11 AM.
I mean, I'm going to go to bed fairly early on Saturday. I know that because the Saturday morning wake up call, the Welsh, you know, is going to be the draft starts our time at 9 a.m. So I got to be up at like probably at least 8:30 a.m., which I don't think I've woken up at 8:30 a.m. since college football season when I was doing the updates here. Sports Grid.
And people are probably hearing it. That's when people are listening to this and they're hearing it. And Bogman is asleep right now.
Yeah, I'm.
Well, no, you might be in the draft, and then you'll be asleep for.
Yeah. I'll be asleep immediately after the draft.
Yeah, so. You'll have some real decompression going on before we record on Sunday for Monday. So.
I love you bringing practicality to the words we learn on the show every day. So it's great.
Yeah, that's what we do. That's what we do. We try to just make it all work seamlessly. So. You know, I don't know. I mean, you know how I am sometimes, dude. Like, how you said that where you're, like, it's kind of, in my words, when we're talking about Jordan Love, like, it's kind of obvious. Like, sure, you know, you're fine with the quarterback, and I think that's fine. You actually, of anybody, you might be the best and more accurate type of a person to judge this, as the Steelers, you know, they really lost themselves because of the lack of quarterback. So I understand that. And to me, I don't even put into the equation like, yeah, they can fill other needs later. Yeah, sure, of course they can. They could do whatever the F they want. Oh, I almost lost $100.
Ah.
almost. I caught myself. That was very, very close. That's the closest I've been in a long time. They can do whatever they want, but that's not the point. It's they invested the most money in a player that they would in this draft, in a first-round pick, in a future quarterback that, A, there is not a future spot for because of the – there's literally not a financial way to make this happen unless some team just opens up, doesn't care about the salary of Aaron Rodgers, and they want to move on and they can trade him. Otherwise, there's no viable way that he can come in, and you can't pay Aaron Rodgers the money he's getting off of the bench. So why invest that much money in a quarterback in the first round when you could do it later? There's other quarterbacks.
But here's the reason. The reason is, and we talked about this with Jordan Love – going into the draft, that there was no gray area on him. Teams either had him as the number one quarterback in this class, or they said, I'm not going to draft him because he's probably a back end of the first round guy. I'm not going to invest that much into a quarterback that I don't really like. So I think it's pretty clear that the Packers think that Jordan Love is on that Patrick Mahomes type of a level, and they could get him in the 20s in a draft. They're going to pull the trigger on that regardless of who they have at quarterback, because you have to, that's the one position you can't wait to develop. You have to stay good at that spot every single year. And this all worked out with Aaron Rodgers, who, by the way, is the exact same age as Brett Favre is when they took Aaron Rodgers in the draft. So I understand what you're saying, and they definitely could have gotten a huge weapon to help out for this year. I always thought they were going wide receiver. Every mock I did, I gave them a wide out. But I understand this Jordan Love pick, specifically after watching my Steelers crash and burn without a good backup quarterback last year.
Well, I don't think Packers understand it. And that's Packer fans don't understand it. And it puts a lot of questions out there. And something that it has the potential to do, something we're going to have to monitor. And obviously, they don't want to make it too crazy. But there could be some dissent that comes
out
of this.
It's not something I would have done.
Would Aaron Rodgers have wanted this? Aaron Rodgers wanted a weapon. You think he was sitting there being like, man, we need to get Ayuk. We need to go get me a Denzel Mims.
Yeah.
Get me one of these guys. Get me one of these receivers now. Get me a playmaker to get in here. Give me a defensive player for the hole, not a backup quarterback. That's his worst nightmare.
Did you see the Pawn Stars meme for Aaron Rodgers?
Uh-uh.
He said, come on, guys, I really need a weapon. And then it was the Rick guy going, best we can do is your replacement.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah,
I'm just waiting for the snarky Rodgers ask. I mean, the only thing I guess positive that's sitting out there is there is no, like, there's no ability for people to be around, and there's no media and stuff. Yeah, like literally, Aaron Rodgers would have to be open to going doing like a Zoom call or something like that for any of this to even be a thing. So it kind of doesn't even matter at this point, because he'll have you catch the guy while they're still in it. He'll be over it shortly, unless he starts doing the snarky little texts out to guys like Ian Rapoport and stuff of being like, I don't know what's going on here, or, you know, I don't know. I mean, you could also, I think
he had to have known that this was a possibility.
I mean, you say that, man, I don't think
maybe
so.
Maybe not. I mean, look, the NFL, the teams have to protect themselves, just like the players have to protect themselves, right? Like, the Colts had no idea Andrew Luck was going to just up and retire, right? So, as a franchise, you never know when that stuff is going to happen. You never know when Aaron Rodgers is going to just say, I've had enough of this. I'm tired of taking you know, all these body shots and having concussions and being beat up and being done with this game. So he could do that after this year. And if he does, everyone's then going to think that the Packers are geniuses.
Well, if there was any insight, but to see that, that's an agreement here. Like, if Aaron Rodgers had given them
I'm not arguing against your point at all, because I'm with you. If I was the Packers, I would not have taken Jordan Love. I would have taken a wideout because that's really, really what they need. So that's what I would have done. I'm just, I understand them taking Jordan Love. And like I said, sitting in this spot at this time last year, I would not have agreed with this pick at all. I would have rolled my eyes and said, this is ridiculous. What are you doing? But after watching the Steelers have one of the best defenses I've ever seen them have and still be terrible last year because they don't have a decent quarterback, I kind of get these type of moves now.
One of the really interesting things I want to, I just want to bust through this because the Clyde Edwards-Hilaire thing is a bigger deal, but right around the same spot, if you want to talk about storylines that of impact, and I really like that we get this information, and I was shocked that teams kind of do it sometimes as well. But when we start to hear about people's boards and how, you know, this player was actually high on this board, or this guy was off and this guy was rated here. Well, you know, I was and still am to, and it really sucks too, because the 49ers situation, like, I can't get over it, and I won't get over it. And it'll always be to me, and I'll always compare what the Niners did to what Jerry Jeudy does in his career, because I think that was the play. And the 49ers had a chance to take him. They did not. They traded back. Then they didn't take him again, and they took Javon Kinlaw, which was infuriating. But then the 49ers traded back up in, which I had speculated they would do. They traded back up in, but that was before I hung up on you on the live stream. And they took one of my favorite wide receivers outside of the Jerry Jeudy range, and Brandon Ayuk from ASU. I love ASU. I think he is one of the more explosive open field receivers. He's a yak monster. 49ers love yards after the catch. That's their big thing. And, you know, they were able to trade that third rounder for Brandon Ayuk. So all of that encompassed to me being like, you know, it is hard to be really upset now that it's over. And had I not known that Jeudy was there, literally, if Jeudy hadn't been there, this would be a different feeling for me. I'd have much different feelings about the process. I would be able to focus on the smartness of it. But the thing that came out of this, and this was reported over on 49ers Web Zone, we find out is that Brandon Ayuk, Bogman, was the number one receiver on the 49ers board. Now, I don't know if it was because they knew they were priced out of Jeudy, but we don't have any of those details. All we found out was literally Ayuk was the number one receiver on Kyle Shanahan's board, which is quite surprising. But I know I'd said this to you offhand. You weren't as surprised as I was to hear that.
I mean, not really, because GMs always have a different board than, you know, what people will put out there. You know, if the consensus is something, you know, a GM is just, they don't care what anyone else thinks. So I'm not that surprised to hear that they had Ayuk as the number one. He wouldn't have been my number one, and he isn't. So I do like him a lot, though. And this is a great class. And, you know, I guess I just don't see where I could put him ahead of a guy like Jeudy or, you know, CeeDee Lamb, Ruggs, Jefferson. I just couldn't do it. But he is really, really good. I was a little bit surprised.
I just wanted to add to you while you're saying this. The report also had that the 49ers had CeeDee Lamb as a close second. So they had Ayuk and Lamb, and that was how they viewed it. So they were obviously going for that kind of really – they weren't going for the top-end rug speed guy. They were going for that, like, athletic, open field, like – I don't know how the word is. It's like a guy that they can move around the field and has like that breakaway potential. I mean,
yeah,
yards after
Jeremiah
catch.
Said it. He's a technician. You know, Brandon Ayuk is a great route runner already. You know, and he can move all around the field. And I think that's just kind of what your guy Shanahan is doing. He's getting these different type of pieces that fit in all over the place. Because Debo can play the slot. He can play outside. I feel like Ayuk can do both as well. Kittle can split out. He can block in line. You know, they just have all these moving pieces, and not even to mention Jalen Hurd they drafted last year, who should develop to be a better wide receiver this year too. And he's a big body dude. So I really like what the Niners are doing. I think the big question for the Niners long term is, you know, and we heard it with some rumblings in the offseason about possibly them going after Tom Brady, is do you think Jimmy G is the guy, you know, to get them to and win the Super Bowl? And I think he showed last year that he obviously is. So when people argue against Jimmy G, I'm a little shocked. I don't know how you feel as a 49er fan, the Welsh.
I'm not shocked. I think there were some serious questions. There were some serious questions that were put out there on his decision making, because he could kind of disappear, you know?
Right.
He would do, I mean, but all the quarterbacks do it, but there would be some bonehead moments of frustration where it was like, can he really make the throws and can he make the decisions to not be a problem in this offense? Because Shanahan has designed the offense enough that the quarterback doesn't need to be the biggest piece. Their running game, their offensive line is so powerful to push that running game, and then they need a quarterback to make the throws, and he needs to put weapons around that guy. So I'm not shocked that the question was out there, and frankly, you know, if you look at this, if you look at it and like, well, had you got Tom Brady, you could have then traded Garoppolo, and you would have just gotten Gronk. You know, Gronk would have come over and played with Kittle. So the Niners right now could be Brady, Gronk, and then whatever they got for Garoppolo, which would have been probably significant. You would have had teams that would have given up something significant. So what if you had Brady, Gronk, an extra pick, and then you just added Ayuk and you added Javon Kinlaw to it?
Man. Okay. You know what? You're explaining it so I can understand it here, man. And that sounds like a pretty damn strong team.
It would have been. But scheme, you know, scheme is the big thing I think you got out of this draft, where, you know, we talk about best available player, that the best available might be to how they fit the scheme. You know, Henry Ruggs was, I don't think he was the best receiver in this class, but, you know, he fit the scheme for the Raiders. And furthermore, which was probably, I still think, one of the bigger shocks was Clyde Edwards-Helaire being the first running back taken. I talked about this, that I had this feeling that a running back was going to go in the back end of the first round, and I thought a team might trade up or the Chiefs could potentially look at it. And then the Chiefs took a running back, but they literally did not take one, two, or three on almost every single human's board. No Jonathan Taylor, no DeAndre Swift, no J.K. Dobbins. They took Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And yesterday we talked about the comps of, you know, Brian Westbrook was put on there. But this is a perfect situation where, like, I actually went back and watched a whole bunch of video, and I like Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Hopefully this isn't like a recency of knowing that he was drafted, but I just like him better than J.K. Dobbins as I went back through. But I don't like him better than Swift or Jonathan Taylor, so that didn't change. But this was a situation where this guy perfectly fit the Andy Reid scheme. They was reminiscent of backs they've had in the past to look at Priest Holmes and Brian Westbrook, and I think they fell in love with the idea of what they've known before. And it looks like he's really, really smart and hitting his holes. He's fast. He's kind of bulky, even though he's shorter, 5'7", 5'8". So I can see it, but this looked like a situation where this guy fit their scheme so perfectly that this is why he was the best on their board. Same reason why why Ayuk was the number one for the 49ers is the same reason why Helaire Ruggs ends up
Ruggs was taken by the Raiders. Yeah.
I was saying same reason why Ayuk was taken by the 49ers. He wasn't the best, but he was they had him number one on the board because he fit the scheme. Same situation happens for the Chiefs.
Yeah, it really does. And Clyde Edwards-Helaire is a great, great fit for Kansas City. I know that Andy Reid is super excited about him. But the thing that we have to remember, and I'm going to hammer it home this entire offseason, is, you know, they like to use multiple backs. Andy Reid has always done that. So is he going to come in and be a second round pick this year? I don't think he should be. So, you know, stick with him, and he's going to be great long term. But for 2020, I'm not taking him as my running back too. I just refuse to do it.
Well, and that's going to be I think actually going to be closer to hot take than anything else with what came out. Let's talk more about that on the other side in this league.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice,
We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Why the fire is it called a...
In this league.
Because who could be scared of it?
In this league.
Yeah, just this nice bloke from down the road, isn't he?
What's wrong with you?
Hello, I'm...
In this league.
I've just moved in. My wife has got varicose veins.
I'm having a heart attack. Having a heart attack.
You're not having an heart attack.
Welcome back. In this league, go to inthisleague.com. Check out our Patreon today. Sign up. Have so much fun with your boys. We deeply appreciate it. Breaking down the NFL draft, Bogman and Welsh style. And we're just finishing up, just kind of cleaning up the big storylines of the first round. Of course, there's lots of stuff. There's lots of things. But, you know, the Ayuk being the number one on the Niners board, boom. Jordan Love and how Aaron Rodgers are going to coexist and what the Packers were thinking, boom. And then Clyde Edwards-Helaire being the first running back taken in the first round. I even saw, I thought this was an interesting one, Mecole Hardman tweeted, "You're telling me 32 teams passed up on DeAndre Swift, and his team is the one that just took Clyde Edwards-Helaire." So,
well, that's his teammate. Yeah, at Georgia.
Yeah, well, but Nicole, I think it's also it's also a legitimate question still that's put out there that Clyde Edwards-Helaire, he definitely fits this scheme. I don't disagree with you, by the way. I think there is a bit of a premature excitement that's happening with him because of, you know, the Brian
not
West.
Not the E I thought you were going to use, the
nope.
Welsh.
Nope,
so.
I avoided that. At least we talked about it, though. At least we brought it back to it, and everyone's in everyone's brain, so thanks for that. No, but, like, you know, everybody looks at the situation. They go, hey, Chiefs need a running back, and, oh, my God, someone's comparing. He's better than Brian Westbrook, and everyone just immediately, like, he's this and that. But, you know, Damian Williams doesn't go away. They want to use multiple running backs. I've seen him. I saw somebody post that he is the 36th overall player on their board for this coming year in redraft league. So, you know, that is going to be a running back too. He's going to be drafted heavily as a running back too, while Damian Williams is looming out there. And I'll tell you what I like about this is it's going to negate the Damian Williams insanity that could happen. But yes. I think it muddies the waters, and he will go higher than I'm comfortable. So I don't see myself owning him in redraft this year. In Dynasty, for sure, it's great long-term bet, and he actually looks like a really, really smart running back. And once he's given the full go, regardless of, you know, the height is a situation, but he's a big, bulky dude, and he moves through the lines really, really fantastic. But I just don't know if the Chiefs system is going to allow him to be the number one guy this coming year, right, after what Damian Williams did, and, you know, I don't know. I mean, they did do a first-round pick on it, Bogman, so maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, but that's the old our buddy Chris Harris, right? He loves to use the term crutch argument. Crutch argument is, well, Clyde Edwards-Helaire went in the first round, so they have to give him, you know, 15, 20 touches a game. They don't, and they won't this year. I think that he will build into that type of a running back. And we kind of saw the slow burn when he was at LSU as well. You know, I mentioned this a couple days ago that Clyde Edwards-Helaire, if we weren't talking about the enormous jump that Joe Burrow took, we would be talking about the one Clyde Edwards-Helaire did, because everyone thought, myself included, This dude is the third down back. I thought it was going to be a J.J. Taylor, a Reggie Corbin type in this class. And he's not that complete. Well, he holds off a five-star running back that came in there in John Emery to become a dude that had 1,800 yards from the line of scrimmage last year. The dude was amazing. Obviously a good pass blocker as well. And, you know, there's a ton of small backs in the NFL now that are working out and lasting and all that stuff. And a lot of the big guys, the bigger dudes are breaking down. So I think the size isn't going to matter, especially when he's playing in space more than those other dudes as well. So this fit is amazing. Yeah. I really, really like it.
It's and a good fit. It's still
for a dynasty league. He's going to be 1-1 to me right now. We'll see what day two
you would take
and
him
day three have.
And wait, so in a dynasty like rookie, you would take him over Judy now?
I think I would.
Wow, because you were so adamant Judy, but and Judy didn't go to a bad destination either.
No, he didn't. But it's not perfect either with Drew Locke being there and John Elway being stubborn about his QBs and stuff.
That's
so,
quite a jump.
Obviously, a lot of that is going to depend on need. But I think Clyde Edwards-Helaire is going to be an absolute stud with the Chiefs. He's going to be amazing. But this year, like you said, he's going to be worked in slowly, as rookies are. Plus, just think about it, too. You know, less ramp-up time this year than there ever has been. They're not going to have rookie minicamp. They're already doing virtual camps.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's going to be just tougher for any rookie to get in there, specifically a running back. So
let me get you this. Pro Football Focus's Jeff Ratcliffe. Here's a projection, 2020 projection on him. Are you ready to hear?
Yeah, let's hear it. Hold on. Can I guess real quick? I'm going to say 850 rushing yards in about,
here's what the projection
30 catches for 300 yards.
Okay, because
like
I was going to say he projects carries, yards, touchdowns, catches, rush, receiving yards, and receiving touchdowns.
Yeah, so like 30 catches for 300 something yards and 850 yards from rushing and then like six touchdowns
total.
Yes.
Okay.
Total.
You're in the vicinity. He projects 175 carries or 708 yards and six touchdowns. That's in the running game. In the passing game, 40 catches, but for only 294 yards and two touchdowns. So he's projecting eight touchdowns and just a smidge over 1,000 total yards for the year and 40 catches. So I don't know what that comes out to. I mean, we could theoretically do the quick math in a PPR league, but 700 yards, eight touchdowns, or 1,000 total yards, eight touchdowns, and 40 catches is a projection on him. That sounds like a low-end RB2 because there's a little bit more upside on him. The 175 carries seems a bit, I don't know. That seems,
how many touchdowns? Eight touchdowns?
Eight touchdowns. Are you doing the math?
Yeah, I'm doing the math.
So give 1,000 yards, 40 catches, and eight touchdowns.
Okay, so that's 188 points. That's about almost 12 points a game in a PPR.
So, I mean, what is the standard running back? I mean, that's like a low-end RB2, right?
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
And that's probably
with upside.
He's got that upside for sure. I just, once again, I'm not going to be, I don't think someone's going to take him too high. Remember the hype that Darwin Thompson got last year, and he was a fifth or sixth round pick.
Yeah.
And so now that, Andy Reid went out of his way to take this running back
I think that's
in the first
point,
round.
Though. I think what you just said is the point, though, of why this is different, is he was a first-round pick. The commitment they've put
it's
on this
definitely
kid is
different.
Way
but, bigger. But I'm just talking about the insane hype that we saw from if you take the fifth-round pick of Darwin Thompson in a questionable running back place, that hype that he got versus a first-round hype, obviously it's different, and I think Clyde Edwards-Helaire way better than Darwin Thompson. But I think the hype is going to go too high, and he's going to become a borderline second round, back of the second round, early third round pick, and I'm not willing to pay up for him.
Yeah, I do agree. I think he is going to touch that area. I think he's going to be a solid I actually liken this a little bit more to the first year Ronald Jones, Rashad Penny type of thing, but maybe even a little bit more. I'm fascinated, and something I'd like to go in a little bit deeper on the In This Week Fantasy Football podcast this coming week. There's a little tease to listen. I'd like to go more in on how I'm trying. Was C-E-H? Uh-oh. Is that his? No. I was just trying to Clyde
it's
Edwards.
It's Hilaire is French. So that's I called him Hilaire until December.
C-H-E. So yeah, I was just trying to abbreviate. C-E-H, so I have to say yeah. his stupid name. But yes, a little C-E-H. I'd like to go in because I feel like, and maybe it's a, I don't know, it's a negative I want to put a little bit on football, but like Clyde Edwards Hilaire was at best 9 or 10 on every human being's dynasty board. And then because the Chiefs just took him, he's now 1-1 in your mind and everybody's mind. And that seems like what this changed because the Chiefs took him? I mean, transparency here, we are recording this portion right before the second round. We are going to have second round coverage. So I can't speak to where Swift or Jonathan Taylor or anything like that are going. But I feel like it's kind of like shows a flaw in the dynasty football system. If we're supposed to be looking at talent and one single team changes it this dramatically, that raises eyebrows to me a little bit. Like, how could Clyde Edwards-Helaire be 9 or 10 on a dynasty board and then go to 1 because the Chiefs took him?
Because context matters, man. It just it matters so much more in football than it does in baseball. Because in baseball, you have it's hitter versus pitcher. So it really doesn't matter where they land. Obviously, better ballparks and better players around you are going to give you more opportunities for RBI and runs and stuff. But if Clyde Edwards-Helaire went to, you know, Jacksonville and the Raiders or the Jaguars weren't thinking about trading Leonard Fournette, then he would be buried among it's going to take him a while to beat out Fournette, or even if Fournette's gone, now he's behind a bad offensive line with a bad offense. Carrying the load for them.
I understand.
It matters. The guy next to Patrick Mahomes just has such a great opportunity. By the way, that 11.75, real quick, the Welsh would have put him at 29 overall last year among running backs between Philip Lindsay and Darius Geis on a per game basis.
Okay, so it's more of a flex option. So,
yeah.
I don't know. My problem with what you're saying a little bit is – like, I don't feel like you're accounting for what I'm actually saying. Because you're right. You're 100% right. Like, Darrell Henderson was one of those guys that was, like, rocketing up boards, and everyone's getting so excited and thinking, man, this guy might be it. Then he gets drafted by the Rams, and his value takes a nosedive a bit. So I get that. But hold on, let me finish. I'm just saying, like, I get that. I get the movement. I get a swing and stuff. But what I'm saying is Clyde Edwards-Helaire wasn't even in the same tier. He was, you saw some people, I'm not saying you, but some people were having Zach Moss above him. Pro Football Focus has Zach Moss above him. You see Cam Akers going above him. Clyde Edwards-Helaire wasn't in the tier with Dobbins, Swift, and Jonathan Taylor, not in the same tier. So this is a Superman jump. This isn't like, oh, cool, you know, now Dobbins jumps up to 1, or, hey, Jefferson moves up to 2 because he's with the Minnesota Vikings in his spot. This is a Superman jump. Everybody on the planet now knows Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and everybody on the planet is in, and this guy has leapfrogged everybody in Dynasty over the Chiefs. I'm not saying that it's wrong. It just raises an eyebrow of how do we get from breaking down a player, looking at his talent, and then he takes this type of a move because the Chiefs brought him in.
Well, first of all, he was in that tier for a lot of people. Not me. I wasn't putting him in there with those three guys. He was kind of his own tier. But, you know, I said it, I think, on Wednesday on the show, The Welsh, where we were talking about the running backs in this class. And I said it's the top three guys, then Helaire, then Akers, and then a free-for-all after that. Kind of everybody has whoever they have ranked high up there. I like Anthony McFarland. I do like Zach Moss. I like DJ Dallas, you know, but other teams are going to have other stuff. So for a lot of people, including you know, our boy Emery said he's in that group and he would put Cam Akers in that group as well. He kind of had a 5 RB tier. So yeah. Some people were. But also, Clyde Edwards-Helaire landed in his best possible spot for
yeah, you're
a
right
running back.
That. No, you're right about that.
So, like, if, you know, if Jerry Jeudy landed in Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers, I'd be like, well, Jerry Jeudy's 1-1 and it's not even close.
Regardless
even
of Helaire.
Edwards-Helaire, it was in Kansas City. Jeudy would be number one because context just matters so much, but he goes to Denver, who has Drew Locke and you know, Elway and all of that craziness in Denver. Like, even if they added Cam Newton, I think I would take Clyde Edwards-Helaire because he just landed in his best possible spot. So I think the next running back, the next high running back is whoever the Dolphins take. If they take Taylor, if they take Swift, that's probably who I'd have ranked next, and then I'd go Judy after that.
Well, we'll talk about that here shortly as we're breaking that down. It's just like, I guess I come from a little bit of a baseball perspective with it because I feel like, it's not bad, but like with dynasty, sometimes we do get caught into the now. And, you know, if we're, and if you're saying, you know, people, I know like Emery is definitely in that camp of locked right. in beyond belief, but there is this kind of, there's just this kind of thing where it's like, if the talent is true, it's going to find a way. It's not very often that there's a lockdown talent that doesn't find a way. There's talent that was maybe misguided talent and it gets exposed, or there's talent that hasn't been developed, like a Raheem Mostert is a perfect example, a talent right. or a scheme that hasn't been developed. And maybe to your point, Raheem Mostert might be one of the biggest proof and point of context matters, because that guy, you know, for years and years and years was just whatever. Then he gets into Shanahan's scheme, and I mean, the guy looks just unstoppable right now.
Right.
But talent always comes through. So maybe what I'm doing is I'm just questioning the evaluation of Helaire, because you're right. Like,
and you should be. These are great points to make and great questions to have as far as, and everybody gets it wrong. You know, everybody
yeah.
gets it wrong.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Every once in a while. And there are many times where one prospect will fool the whole NFL. Like, if Joe Burrow sucks, I feel like everyone in the NFL will be surprised if that happens. So maybe they won't be, because, you know, the Bengals are historically a team that has failed first round picks. But I think everyone would have taken him 1-1. So.
All right.
You know,
I mean,
if he fails, they're going to be surprised.
Yeah. And I mean, maybe I'm making a tiny bit more out of Helaire than it needs to be, because, you know, I think at worst for most people is he was the start of the next tier. It's just, you know, he wasn't in the bandwagon with the top three for the majority of people. Or if he was in the same tier, he was still at the bottom. And the more that I had done such a focus on a wide receivers leading up to the draft, I hadn't done enough of a focus on running back. And like I said, I fully acknowledge that I might be skewed a bit by knowing that Helaire was drafted by the Chiefs. But I went back and I couldn't see how I could rate J.K. Dobbins above Helaire. But I still love Taylor and Swift over Helaire. But he is in a great scheme, in a great spot. But there are still question marks. And there's a commitment standpoint, at least recently, with the Chiefs on a running back. Though I say that, and, you know, before Kareem Hunt screwed up, right. Kareem Hunt was a absolute monster with the Kansas yeah. City Chiefs. So I guess, you know, the high-powered offense takes such a huge, huge push for a player that it's optimizing the skill level. And I guess I was just thinking people weren't giving the credit where it was due. But we're going to talk a little bit more. We're actually going to talk about the funny stories that happened in the first round, and we're going to get into day two. So don't go anywhere in this league. NFL draft coverage coming up.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.